Hey there, and welcome to the Mom Tana Podcast, your wild corner of the internet where I chat about birth, motherhood, and life in the mountains of Western Montana. I'm Chaya, your fellow Mom Tanan, and guide on this journey through the highs and lows of early parenthood within Big Sky Country. Each Tuesday, I'll cover pregnancy hacks, birth tips, herbalism in motherhood, and more. So grab your favorite hat and your favorite horse, and let's get into the beauty and chaos of Mom Tana living. This week, we will be talking about the sacred invitation, being invited to a birth. This has a special place in my heart, and for some reason, it is something that a lot of people have trouble conveying to other people, and a lot of people have trouble with actually accepting and really grasping this concept. And I'm not just talking about mother-in-laws, I'm not just talking about aunties and husbands and whatever. I'm talking about midwives and doulas even, and definitely doctors and nurses and people in the allopathic modern medicine sphere. But again, as I said, midwives and doulas even have trouble understanding this concept. And so it seems to be something that definitely needs to be discussed. First things first about the sacred invitation to a birth. If you are not the person, the woman giving birth, you do not have a right to be there. It is not your right. This is going to be hard for some people. I can hear people gasping already. Specifically people in my family going, oh, how dare she? But it's true. You don't have a right to be at someone else's birth. The only person, the only person that has a right to be there is the only other person who helped make that baby. So the father. Only the mother and the father of that baby that is being born have the right to be in the birth space. No one else has a right. I'm gonna sing it from the rooftops. I'm going to sing it from the mountains. I will declare it till the day I die. I don't care if you are grandma. I don't care if you are sister. I don't care if you're midwife. I don't care if you're medical staff at the hospital. I don't care if you're the janitor and somebody said there's blood on the floor, go clean it up. You are not welcome into the birth space unless you have been invited. And therefore, if you are in a circumstance where it is your job to be in the birth space, you still need to treat it as though it is a sacred invitation. It is an invitation. These people did not have to tell you about the birth. They could have run off on a long vacation, like how they used to send our friends in high school when they would get pregnant. You know, like people disappear to have their babies in secret. That could have happened, but they let you know. They let you know. And because, you know, a variety of reasons, they would like your support. They'd like your services. They love you and want you to know what's happening in their lives. But you still need to make sure that you are treating it as an invitation. You would not walk into someone else's home and be like, this is my place. I have a right to be here. I'm going to put my muddy shoes up on the couch and prop myself up, you know, and eat your food and whatever. No, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that because it's not your right. That's their home, right? So that is one of the very important things, just first and foremost, that people need to get through their head about birth. You do not have a right to be there. It is not your right to be in the birth space unless you are the birthing mother or the father of that baby being born. Another aspect of this sacred invitation of being invited to a birth is that this is a profoundly intimate moment for the mother. And I am now speaking mostly to midwives, medical staff, you know, whoever might be in the birth work sphere. But I am still talking about, you know, relatives or friends or whoever else might want to be in the birth space of somebody having a baby. This is a profoundly intimate moment for the mother. She is vulnerable, the most vulnerable she could possibly be, on an emotional level, on a spiritual level. And that might sound woo-woo, but get over it, because birth is a woo-woo experience. I'm sorry. I'm just tired of pussyfooting around that fact. It is a profoundly spiritual experience, and you can try to disconnect yourself from it, but that doesn't change the fact that it is one. So the mother is in a profoundly vulnerable space. She's vulnerable emotionally. She is vulnerable spiritually, and she is especially vulnerable physically. And not just, you know, she could be fully clothed and pregnant. Think, you know, animal kingdom, right? When there's a pregnant animal around, it's harder for her to escape predators. It's harder for her to do different things. She's vulnerable. She's not necessarily weaker, but there are more things that she's concerned about when it comes to predators and survival and things like that. She needs to make sure she's getting enough food, enough water. She's staying especially safe because, again, she's going to have a harder time getting away from predators, etc. And not only that, but her concern is also for her unborn child. It's also for her offspring. It's for the next generation, the continuation of the species. So on an animal, innate animal self part of our human experience, we understand on a subconscious level that we are exposed. We are exposed in all of those ways. And then let alone in the actual birth space, the actual time of birth, we are opening up. Our cervix is opening. Our body is opening. We are, again, physically exposed. And you know, many women prefer to get naked when they're having a baby. It's just sort of this primal animal instinct. And so, again, if you are wanting to go into the birth space, you need to make sure that you are facilitating a safe environment for a woman who is extremely vulnerable, the most vulnerable that she could possibly be. And just as far as like common social decency goes, she's extremely exposed, right? So this is another reason why this is a sacred invitation. And if you are in the birth world, in birth work, and you are a medical professional, it doesn't matter if you see vaginas and pubes and butts all the time, like thousands of them every day. It does not matter, because you're just one person in this woman's world. You're just one person for this woman's one birth. Like, she is the one having the baby right now. This is an experience that she will take with her for her entire life. She will have this experience at her deathbed. She will remember this experience, as long as she's not, you know, literally drugged, knocked out. So for you, this is no big deal, whatever. But for her, this is an extremely, extremely big deal. And if you've been invited there, you need to remember that this is an extremely vulnerable time and a very big event for this one woman. And to treat it that way. Treat it with that reverence and that respect.
You are freedom-loving, nature-trusting, and spiritually grounded, and you're looking for a skilled birth attendant who shares your values. With today's politics making birth overly medicalized and invasively regulated, finding the support you want feels out of reach. I offer holistic birth services tailored to your unique needs and family journey. By becoming a member and choosing a support level, you can curate your own experience without the fight or controlling oversight. Just go to momtana.org or check out the show notes for details.
When you are invited to a birth, you are also witnessing the beginning of life itself, the breath of life. Yes, that baby has been alive the whole time it's been in mama's belly, but you're witnessing the breath of life. If you have not been in the birth space before, you don't even necessarily have to have been in person in the birth space. If you've watched a birth video and there's that little pause and then the baby cries out, do you not tear up? Do you not get, tingles down your spine? Do you not just feel so elated? Like, isn't that just the most wonderful sound on the planet? I'm literally starting to tear up just recalling my son's births. Isn't that the most amazing sound? I think literally angels rejoice. I think literally Hashem, like God, is up there just like dancing when a baby cries out with their first breath. Like, it's just amazing. And that is what you are witnessing, the breath of life itself. I don't know how much more sacred that can get. And I'm even having a hard time trying to talk more about it because now that I've brought it up in my own mind, I'm just in awe. I'm just in awe. But again, if you haven't, and just think how much more that experience is when you're there in person. And I talk about in my birth course, I talk about the hormones of birth and the pheromone effects of those hormones. And so literally when you are in the birth space, you are literally sharing hormones with each other. It like animals can smell hormones, we do too. It's subconscious. So we literally are sharing these hormones of ecstasy, of oxytocin and the love hormone, the bonding hormone. We are feeling that as well as witnessing this miracle. And that's what it is to be invited into the birth space. You are being welcomed into that experience, someone else's experience. They are giving you the blessing, the opportunity to be a part of that. It's a big deal. The other side of that is that you may potentially be witnessing death. In some aspect, you are witnessing a death, even with a live baby and a happy family. You are witnessing the death of the mother that was. You're witnessing the death of a maiden and mother of, mother of one, mother of two, mother of whatever. If this is her third, fourth, fifth baby, the woman that she was prior has died. And now this is a new woman, a new mother, a renewed mother, and a new baby. So in that sense, you are witnessing death, and that deserves reverence all in itself. But in the tragic and God forbid event of a baby's death or even a mother's death, you are there witnessing that. There are a lot of implications of that alone, and I don't really want to dive into that in this episode, but I felt it was important to point out the reality of that. And again, the reverence that this event deserves, because truly society readily offers more respect to those on their deathbed than we do in the birth room. When you picture a birth, and let's just go with the most common societally accepted, picture of birth, so a hospital birth, What do you imagine? You imagine probably a hospital bed and bright lights and a sterile clinical setting with yelling people and legs in the air and lots of masks and hairnets and masks and gloves and all of that. Probably a laboring woman that's yelling and screaming and blaming her husband, and the husband's like, oh my God, and all this chaos, right? That's what we see in movies for sure. And when we see death in movies, or even picture them in our own family, you know, experiences maybe, we picture people quietly standing around maybe a hospital bed, and the family member or whoever that is passing away, the loved one that is dying, is there lying peacefully, usually, and everyone's really quiet. And maybe there's a reflection on that person's life and the things that they've accomplished and their pride and joy and the things they're leaving behind for the next generation and what have you. There's such reverence and awe and respect and a general sense of what's proper and appropriate. And everybody seems to know what's proper and appropriate without anybody having to take a prep class. No one's having to sit family down and be like, okay, when someone dies, you need to make sure that no one's violating my corpse and no one's screaming at me, and that, you know, everybody remembers I have a right to die and, you know, take the meds or not take the meds. There's none of that. And yet, in the birth space, for births, how different is it? And it shouldn't be, because it's just as profound. It is the beginning stage of human life, whereas that's the end. And there's still a fair bit of fear a lot of the time, but it's different. Somehow we know how to behave for a death. But generally, people have to be told how to behave for a birth, which is unfortunate, but necessary, clearly. And I can't tell you how many stories I've heard of people misbehaving, I guess, in the birth space. It happens all the time, every day, every hour, every minute, it seems like. All over the world, definitely here in the United States. And so that's why we've got a whole podcast episode about this topic, about the sacred invitation to being invited to a birth, invited, welcomed into the birth space, a guest in someone else's major life event. So feel free to share this with anybody you think might need to get the message across. I say these things with love, truly, because I think that the whole world suffers from these kinds of misbehaviors, and I'd rather everybody just have a wonderful birth experience and everybody benefit from the profound privilege that it is to witness a birth and be in the birth space and things like that. And so, yep, I don't think I have anything else to say about it. And so, yeah, I'll see you here next week. Thanks for joining me here. Remember to subscribe, write a review,
and check out the show notes for other ways to connect. Nothing on this podcast is medical or legal advice. By engaging with this content, you agree to take full responsibility for your own experiences. Everything in this podcast is property of Prudence Ministries, a private healing association.